Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. The camera is not working today. Look at that. That's not me. Well, that is me, but that's not me as I am now. Let's see if we can get this back on. There we go. Hey, that's me. Hi, good morning. What a lovely expression I had on my face. It was when I was setting things up late last night. We had a Mother's Day out, and we went to go see Beth's mom on the Eastern Shore. We got back pretty late, and I was setting up the Psalms devotional at about midnight last night, and, you know, had long drives to and from Easton and just a long day. And so that wonderful still of me. Hey, this is real life. Okay. We're keeping it real here. That was me last night setting up the Psalms devotional, just feeling very tired and after a long day. So good morning. It's a new day. It's a new morning, and we are here to study Psalm 38 together. And this is our next to last Psalm in terms of going through all of them. I decided, actually just last night, we'll go ahead and do Psalm 40 on Friday. So this week we'll do 38, 39, and 40. Now we've already done 40. That'll be a repeat, but that's okay. Psalm 40 is excellent. It's one of my favorites. It's so rich and full of such wonderful truth. So we're going to do Psalm 38, 39, and 40 this week. We'll be done with all 150 on Wednesday when we do 39. And then I will work on getting those compiled together so that you can have one place where you can find them all in reasonable order, because I didn't do them all in order. They're not that super easy to find in order. Like if you're looking for a particular one, it's not that easy to find. But they are on YouTube and Facebook and Sermon Audio. And Sermon Audio is the best place to be able to find them in order. So you go to the Forest Hill PCA page. That's just sermonaudio.com/Forest Hill PCA. Sermonaudio.com/Forest Hill PCA. And then you go to sermons. And then you sort by scripture or filter by scripture. And then you pick Psalms. And it'll give you everything I've done on the book of Psalms in order. So that will include these morning devotionals. It'll also include all the sermons I've preached in Psalms, which I do in the summertime. Psalms in the summer. So you can get everything there pretty much in order. So that's the best place for now. But I'm going to be working on putting everything together in one place in order so that you can have it easily at hand. And I'm going to trim, make sure all the opening music beds are trimmed so that you just get the devotional content. All right, that's enough of that. Let's pray, and we'll get into Psalm 38, shall we? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us another day of life. Thank you, Father, for friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellowship, even in this virtual way to gather together. And thank you for your word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, which is the word of truth. We pray that you would apply Psalm 38 to our hearts this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 38 is a psalm of David for the memorial offering. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. But I am like a deaf man, I do not hear, like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no rebukes. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer. For I said, only let them not rejoice over me, who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before me. I confess my iniquity, I am sorry for my sin. But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty. And many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. I want to start by just making a little note about these final two verses. This is the last stanza of Psalm 38. And we see something. We see that there are actually four titles for God. The three major names of God that are used in the Old Testament. Yahweh, that is the Lord in all caps. Whenever you see the Lord in all caps, that's Yahweh. The covenant name of God, I am who I am, which speaks of God's eternal, unchanging nature and his self-sufficiency. I am who I am. So God is not in the process of becoming something. He's not changing. And he also doesn't need anything from anyone. So he is eternally consistent and self-sufficient. I am who I am. And that's the covenant name of God because that's how God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And that's the basis of all of his covenant promises to us. God will keep all of his covenant promises because he is who he is. So he's not going to change his mind and he's not going to lack the resources to be able to do what he's promised to do. The second name for God is God, translated. It's Elohim in the original Hebrew, and it refers to the strength and power of God, the might of God. The third, O Lord, with the non-capitalized O-R-D, is Adonai, and that means master, ruler, king, Lord, the one who rules over me. And the final title for God here, name for God, is my salvation, which we've noted several times. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, which is the same as the name of Jesus. It's the same Hebrew letters that form salvation and that form Jesus, because Jesus' name means salvation. He said, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So I just want to see that at the end of this heart-wrenching prayer, David is anchoring his hope on the character, the attributes, the names of God. His hope is anchored in God alone. And that's where he starts too. O Lord, O Yahweh, O unchanging, self-sufficient, covenant Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Here, David has sinned. We don't know precisely which sin of David's life is behind this psalm. It might have been his great sin with Bathsheba and arranging the death of her husband Uriah the Hittite. It might have been another sin of his. It might have been the census. We know that David, when he ordered the census, it was against God's will. And he did so anyway, and it was foolish, and he brought judgment upon the nation. And then he interceded on behalf of the nation to stop the wrath of God at the threshing floor of Arunya the Jebusite. So it's interesting, it was a Jebusite, it was someone of the original inhabitants of Jerusalem. On his threshing floor, David made intercession, then he bought that threshing floor, then that threshing floor became the location for the temple that his son Solomon would build. So it could have been that, but it could be something else entirely. We just don't know. What we do know is that David is in deep and serious sin. He has been foolish. He has sinned. He says, my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. So this must have been some very significant, shocking, consequential, heavy sin that really shocked David and caused him to be greatly humbled. We've all had those experiences where we've sinned in such a way that we are shocked by our own sinfulness. How could I have said that? How could I have acted in that way? How could I have done that? And we are overwhelmed by the burden of our sin. And David is so overwhelmed by the burden of his sin that he's sick. Like, he's aching and probably bedridden out of the guilt. He says, "My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness." He may have just been bedridden for a long period of time because of his mourning over his sin. It's a heavy, heavy, heavy thing. "My sides are burning. There's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart." This shows us a little bit of why David is known as the man after God's own heart. You know, we hear about David being called man after God's own heart, and we might think about the way he danced before the Ark of the Covenant, his commitment to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, his desire to build a temple in Jerusalem to the Lord. We might think about, you know, Psalm 23 or some of the other psalms that he writes that are beautiful and passionate for God and for his glory. Psalm 27, one of my favorites. But if we think about it, David also repented in a way that showed his being a man after God's own heart. When he sinned and he was convicted of his sin, it weighed heavily on him. He truly was repentant and filled with sorrow and longing for the Lord. "All my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you." So this is a Godward. You see, sometimes we can be caught in sin and we can wallow in self-pity. David is not wallowing in self-pity. He is pouring out his heart before the Lord. "All my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails. The light of my eyes is gone from me." He's been abandoned by his friends and companions. This, you know, we don't know exactly, like I said, what sin this is. But sometimes we can feel so alone in our sin. And we know in David's life there were several times when people were plotting and conspiring against him. But he is determined that he will be quiet. He's not going to say anything. He's not going to lash out at his friends for not being with him and for not helping him. He's not going to lash out at his accusers, those who seek his life. He's going to be quiet. But he's going to cry out to the Lord. He'll be quiet regarding those around him, but he's going to cry out to the Lord. And here in verse 15 is the first place in this psalm where we see this triad of the three major names of God: Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim. "O Lord, Yahweh, for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, O Adonai, my strong warrior, protector, defender. Who will answer?" That's a way of putting all of his hope in God. Sometimes we like to hedge our bets. You know, we'll put some faith in God. We'll ask God for his help. But then we'll look for a way to sort of manage the situation ourselves. We'll look for a way to sort of handle it ourselves. No, that's not what David's doing here. David is pouring out his heart entirely to the Lord. "I confess my iniquity. I'm sorry for my sin. But my foes, oh my foes, those who render me evil for good." So he wants deliverance, and he's looking to the Lord, and he's waiting for the Lord. And so he says, "Do not forsake me, be not far from me, and make haste to help me." We looked at the three names of God in this closing stanza. Now we come back to the closing stanza to look at the three petitions before God. "Do not forsake me." So don't turn your back on me. Don't leave me. "Be not far from me, and make haste to help me." Where do we see Christ in this psalm? Well, we're just about out of time, But let me just say this. While Jesus was not guilty of sin himself, Jesus was made sin for us. Our sin became his. Our guilt became his. And that was a heavy burden for him. He was crushed. Think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane, as I believe that sin was beginning to be placed on him. The weight of the guilt of it was coming down upon him. He knew as he became sin what it was going to cost him. And he was weak and he was tired and he was crying out to the Lord. And all of his friends and companions were far off. They were sleeping under a tree. And he did not, he did not speak against his accusers, nor did he really listen to the awful things they were saying about him, like a lamb before its shearers is silent. So we do get a portrait of Christ here in this psalm, although of course he was not personally guilty for sin, but he had our sin laid upon him. He became sin for us. And of course we know that on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then, having satisfied all of our sin, he cried out, it is finished, and then into your hands I commit my spirit. So that's where we see Christ in this psalm, but also we see him in the very last line. O Lord, my salvation. O Adonai, my Yeshua. And in Greek, this could be translated as Jesus, my Lord. Lord, Christ. Lord, my Jesus. So he is our salvation because he went through the pain and suffering and abandonment of being made sin for us, because he was crushed for us, because he was forsaken, because he was cut off, because he was delivered up unto death. He delivered himself up unto death. We find hope and salvation in him. When we are overwhelmed by our sin, we can pray in confidence, knowing that we will be forgiven, for he has paid the price for us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, our salvation. All of our hope is in him. Help us not to play games where we hedge our bets and try to find other saviors and other rescuers. There is none but Jesus. He is everything. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions. He suffered agony because our sin was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed, because he finished the work of salvation on the cross. So help us to rest in Christ Jesus today, and help us to turn to you quickly when we sin, knowing that our sin has already been paid for, and we can turn to our Father and confess, and you will be faithful and just to forgive. Grant us this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we'll plan to gather together on Wednesday morning again for Psalm 39. Hope you can be there with us as we're coming to the end of our Psalms series. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.